A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your tire pressure is fine. You checked it last week. The TPMS light is off. And your tire could still kill you on the highway this afternoon. And you wouldn't see it coming until the tread peels off at 70 miles an hour.
That's not dramatic. That's the NHTSA data. Tire-related crashes spike every July and August. Heat and existing damage compound, and suddenly the thing you've been ignoring for 6 months becomes the reason you're on the shoulder waiting for a tow truck.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about tire condition, not pressure, but the actual physical state of the tire. Tread depth, wear patterns, the sidewall, the stuff nobody looks at except the mechanic once a year during inspection. And he brought up the aviation walk around. Pilots do this before every single flight, flashlight in hand, checking for cracks and bulges and foreign object damage. He wants to know if we were going to add a tire walk around to a car inspection routine. What exactly are we looking for?
That's the right question. Because most drivers treat tire safety as a pressure-only problem. The TPMS light is the only feedback loop they have, and if it's off, they assume everything's fine. But pressure sensors don't check tread depth. They don't check for sidewall bulges. They don't notice that the inner edge of your right rear tire is worn down to the cord because your alignment's been off for 8,000 miles.
By the end of this episode, we're going to hand you a repeatable 90-second walk-around protocol, borrowed from aviation thinking, adapted for a car. It catches the three categories of tire failure that cause the majority of tire-related crashes: tread separation, blowouts from sidewall damage, and hydroplaning from insufficient tread. Before they happen.
We're going to get specific. The quarter test versus the penny test, what wear bars actually look like, the hand feel technique for catching sidewall bulges you can't see with your eyes. This isn't abstract safety advice. This is a procedure you can do at a gas station while the tank fills.
Let's start with the gap. Why do we check pressure religiously, or at least feel guilty about not checking it, but ignore everything else about the tire?
Part of it is that pressure is the thing the car can yell at you about. Since 2007, every new vehicle sold in the U.S. has had a tire pressure monitoring system. It's mandated, so there's a dashboard light, and when it comes on, you act. But there's no tread depth light, no sidewall integrity warning, no, hey, your right front tire has a slow bulge developing from that pothole you hit in March, indicator. The feedback loop doesn't exist, so the behavior doesn't exist.
Pressure is easy to conceptualize. It's a number. 32 PSI, 35 PSI, you can put a gauge on it and get a reading. Tread depth feels more subjective. Wear patterns look confusing. Sidewalls are just... people don't know what they're looking at, so they don't look.
Which is exactly why the aviation parallel Daniel raised is so useful. Pilots don't skip the walk around because it's subjective. They follow a systematic sequence every time, same order, same checkpoints. The FAA mandates it under Part 91 and Part 135. But more importantly, the culture enforces it. You don't get in a plane without walking around it first. It's not negotiable.
We're not suggesting a 15-minute pre-drive ritual with a clipboard and a flashlight. This is 90 seconds. Same sequence every time. Four tires, three checks per tire. The goal isn't to turn drivers into mechanics. It's to catch the three failure modes that, according to NHTSA, account for 78% of tire-related crashes.
The timing matters right now. We're in peak summer road trip season. Record heat across a lot of the country. Pavement temperatures that can hit 140 degrees. That heat doesn't cause tire failure on its own, but it takes existing damage and accelerates it. A small sidewall bulge that might have lasted another 6 months in January can fail in July.
The question Daniel's really asking is, what would a pilot check if they were doing a walk around on a car? And the answer is, more specific and more actionable than most people expect.
The walk around itself is straightforward once you know what you're looking at. But that's the thing, most people genuinely don't. I've asked friends to check their tires and they'll stare at them for 5 seconds and say they look fine, What does fine mean? They don't know where to look or what a problem looks like.
It's the difference between glancing at a page of Chinese characters and actually reading it. You're seeing the same marks, but one brain has a decoder and the other doesn't.
The first thing to understand is that a tire talks to you. Every wear pattern is a diagnostic signal. The tread depth isn't just a number, it's a report on your suspension geometry, your inflation habits, and your driving style. The sidewall isn't just the vertical part, it's a structural membrane that shows damage before it fails catastrophically.
Pilots learn to read these signals because the stakes are unambiguous. A tire failure on landing is not a pullover in AAA situation. So the walk-around culture in aviation isn't about being obsessive. It's about recognizing that tires are the only thing connecting you to the ground, and ground is the thing you're trying not to hit.
The FAA doesn't make this optional. Part 91 covers general aviation. Part 135 covers commuter and on-demand operations. Both require a pre-flight inspection that includes tires. You visually check for cuts, bulges, tread condition, and proper inflation before every flight. Not once a month, not when the light comes on.
Part of what makes that work is that the checklist removes the judgment call. You don't decide whether the tire looks fine. You go through the items. Tread wear indicators, valve stem condition. The pilot's job isn't to evaluate whether inspection is warranted. It's to execute the sequence.
That's what we're adapting here. Not the intensity, but the structure. A 90-second protocol that removes the ambiguity. You're not asking, does this tire look okay? You're asking three specific questions at each wheel, in the same order, every time.
Which brings us to the actual protocol. To understand what we're checking, we need to get specific about what we're looking at. Let's start with the one everyone thinks they know, tread depth.
The legal minimum in most U.S. states is 2/32 of an inch, 1.6 millimeters. If your tread is shallower than that, you're technically driving on illegal tires. But here's the thing. That's the minimum to avoid a ticket, not the minimum to be safe.
The gap between those two numbers is where people get hurt.
NHTSA and Tire Rack both recommend replacing tires at 4/32, not 2, because wet weather stopping distance degrades sharply below 4/32. At 2/32, you're essentially driving on racing slicks in the rain. The tread channels can't evacuate water fast enough, and you hydroplane. The tire literally rides up on top of the water film and loses contact with the road.
How do you actually measure this without a dedicated tread depth gauge?
Two coins, two thresholds. The penny test, stick a penny head down into the tread groove. If you can see the top of Lincoln's head above the tread, you're below 2/32, legally worn out. The quarter test, same thing with a quarter, Washington's head down. If the top of his head is visible, you're below 4/32, the safety threshold where NHTSA says you should be shopping for tires.
I've seen people do the penny test and declare victory because Lincoln's head is partially hidden. They don't realize they're celebrating being 1 millimeter above the legal cliff.
Both coin tests have a precision problem. The angle you hold the coin, which groove you pick, whether the lighting is good, you can get different readings on the same tire. The more reliable indicator is already built into the tire. Every tire manufactured for the U.S. market has wear bars molded into the tread grooves. They're small raised bars that run perpendicular across the grooves. When the surrounding tread wears down flush with those bars, you're at 2/32. No coin needed. You just look.
Much harder to argue with a wear bar than with a penny you're holding at a weird angle in a dimly lit garage.
Here's where it gets more interesting than just, is my tread deep enough? Uneven wear across the tire surface is a diagnostic readout on your car's mechanical health. Center wear, the middle of the tread, is more worn than the edges. That's chronic overinflation. The tire is ballooning slightly, so only the center contacts the road fully.
Which means the guy who thinks, I'll just put a few extra PSI in for better fuel economy, is actually eating his tires from the inside out.
The opposite, both shoulders worn more than the center, that's underinflation. The tire is concave, riding on its edges. If you see one edge worn but not the other, that's a toe alignment problem. The wheel is pointed slightly inward or outward, scrubbing rubber off one side with every rotation.
What about the pattern that looks like someone took a scoop out of the tread at regular intervals?
Cupping, also called scalloping. That's a suspension problem, typically worn shocks or struts. The tire is literally bouncing as it rolls, and each bounce scuffs a little divot into the rubber. If you run your hand over the tread and it feels wavy instead of smooth, that's cupping. No alignment fix will solve it. You need suspension work, and the tire itself may need replacement if the wear is deep enough. Feathering is when the tread blocks are worn smooth on one edge and sharp on the other. Feels like saw teeth if you run your hand along the tread. That's toe misalignment, same root cause as one edge wear, but presenting differently depending on the tire design. The point is, every one of these patterns is a signal. Ignore it, and you're not just wearing out tires faster. You're letting the underlying mechanical problem get worse and more expensive.
Tread depth tells you when to replace the tire. Wear pattern tells you what's wrong with the car. Those are the first two things a pilot would check. But Daniel also asked about the tire body, the sidewall. And that's where things get dangerous, in a way most drivers never think about.
The sidewall is the most neglected part of tire inspection, and it's where catastrophic failures often originate. You're looking for three things. First, bulges or bubbles. These look like a goose egg protruding from the sidewall. That's internal belt separation. The structural cords inside the tire have torn, and air pressure is pushing the rubber outward. That tire could blow out at any moment. Immediate replacement, no exceptions.
You can miss these with a visual glance. A small bulge on the inner sidewall facing the suspension is basically invisible unless you crouch down and look.
Which is why the NHTSA inspection protocol says you run your hand around the sidewall, not just look at it. Your fingers will feel a bulge that your eyes might skip over. It's the single most important tactile check in the whole walk around. Feel for anything that isn't a smooth, continuous curve.
That's a detail that separates a real inspection from a glance. And nod. The hand feel.
Second thing on the sidewall, cuts and cracks. Weather checking. Those fine spiderweb cracks from UV exposure is partly cosmetic on older tires. But if any crack is deep enough that you can see the cords underneath, that tire is done. And any cut, regardless of depth, if it penetrates past the outer rubber layer, is a failure waiting to happen.
The NHTSA report from Texas in 2023. The tire had 6/30 seconds of tread. Plenty of life left by any tread depth standard. But there was a sidewall bulge from a pothole impact 3 months earlier. Nobody noticed it. The tire failed at highway speed, and the crash was fatal. 6/30 seconds of tread didn't matter.
That case study should be on every driver's ed curriculum. Tread depth is not a proxy for tire health. A tire with perfect tread and a sidewall bulge is a time bomb. A tire with perfect tread and a cracked valve stem is a slow leak that becomes a blowout when the pressure drops low enough on a hot day.
Which brings us to the valve stem, the thing nobody looks at.
Rubber valve stems age. They crack, especially on older tires or in dry climates. A cracked valve stem can leak slowly, slow enough that the TPMS might not trigger for weeks, or it can fail suddenly and deflate the tire in seconds. During the walk around, you're looking for visible cracks at the base of the stem and making sure the cap is present and tight. The cap isn't just a dust cover, it's a secondary seal. Missing caps let in moisture and debris that corrode the valve core.
To recap before we get to the actual walk-around procedure, tread depth is a safety threshold, not a legal checkbox, and the quarter test or wear bars are your tools. Wear patterns are diagnostic signals for alignment and suspension problems. Sidewall bulges are emergencies, period, and sidewall cracks that expose cord are done. Valve stems crack and leak. That's the checklist. Now let's turn that into an actual walk-around you can do in 90 seconds.
The aviation version is burned into every pilot's muscle memory. Start at the left wingtip, walk clockwise around the entire aircraft, in back at the cockpit. You don't skip a station, you don't change the order, you don't get distracted. The consistency is what catches things. Your brain stops deciding what to check and just executes.
For a car, the pattern's simpler. Start at the driver's side front tire. That's your left wingtip. Then passenger front, passenger rear, driver rear. Clockwise loop, four stops. At each tire, same three-step sequence every time.
Step 1. Tread check. Crouch down, you need to actually get your eyes level with the tread. Find the wear bars in the grooves. If they're flush, you're done shopping. If not, quarter test. Washington's hair visible means below 4:30 seconds, time to plan replacement. Then scan across the full width of the tread for uneven wear. Is the center more worn than the edges? One shoulder lower than the other? That's your diagnostic readout.
Step 2. Sidewall check. Visual first. Look for any bulge, bubble, cut, or crack that catches your eye. Then run your hand around the full circumference of the sidewall, both the outer face and as much of the inner face as you can reach. You're feeling for anything that isn't smooth, a lump you didn't see, a crack your eye skipped. This is the step that catches the Texas pothole bulge before it catches you.
Step 3. Valve stem. Look at the base where it meets the wheel. Any cracks in the rubber? Is the cap present and snug? Takes 3 seconds. Move to the next tire. 4 tires, 3 steps each, 90 seconds total. I've timed it.
This is where Daniel's time mark recommendation becomes useful. The app lets you timestamp a photo at each tire position. Every time you do the walk around, you build a visual history. That sidewall photo from June versus the same angle in July. You can spot a developing bulge or spreading crack that a single inspection might miss entirely.
The template Daniel built has fields for everything we just described. Tire position, tread depth result from the quarter test, wear pattern notes, sidewall condition, valve stem condition. It turns a subjective glance into documented data. And that matters because human memory is terrible at detecting slow change. You won't notice a crack growing a millimeter a month. 2 photos side by side, 3 months apart, you'll see it immediately.
There's something else about the time mark approach that mirrors what makes aviation checklists work. The act of documenting forces you to actually look. If you know you have to fill in a field that says sidewall condition, you're going to run your hand around the tire. If there's no record, it's too easy to skip.
The obvious next question is frequency. Pilots do this before every flight. The NHTSA says monthly for drivers, but I think the real answer is more practical than either of those.
Monthly is the baseline for a commuter car that never leaves town. But there are 2 triggers that should override the calendar. 1. Before any road trip that involves 2 or more hours of highway driving. Sustained high speed turns a small problem into a catastrophic one much faster. 2. After any significant pothole impact or curb strike, you know the one, that jarring thud where you wince and hope nothing broke. Don't hope.
The pothole one is critical, especially with the state of American roads right now. A hit that doesn't immediately blow the tire can still cause internal belt separation that shows up as a bulge weeks later. If you do the walk around after the impact, you establish a baseline. Then you check again a week later and compare photos. That's how you catch the slow developing failure.
The barrier here isn't time. The barrier is building the habit. And the simplest habit hack is to attach the walk around to something you already do. Gas station stops are ideal. The lighting is good. You're already standing next to the car, and you've got 2 minutes while the tank fills. Do the loop while the pump runs. Same sequence, same 3 steps, every fill up.
Once a week for most drivers, which is more frequent than NHTSA's monthly recommendation, but the incremental cost is 0. You're already there.
One more thing about why summer specifically makes this urgent. Tire pressure changes 1 psi for every 10 degrees Fahrenheit of ambient temperature change. So a tire set to 32 psi on a 60 degree morning is at 37 psi when the pavement hits 110 in the afternoon. That's overinflated.
Overinflation by itself isn't dangerous on a healthy tire. But combine 5 extra PSI with a sidewall bulge from that pothole you hit in March, or tread that's starting to separate at the edges, and you've got a blowout waiting for the right moment. The heat doesn't cause the failure, it takes existing damage and pushes it over the edge.
The walk around catches the physical damage. The pressure check, which is a separate step, not part of the 90-second visual protocol, catches the thermal risk. You need both. TPMS only gives you the second one, and even then only when pressure drops below the threshold, not when it's running high.
This is where the aviation comparison has its limits, which is worth acknowledging. A pilot's walk around includes checking tire pressure with a gauge. For a driver, separating the visual walk around from the pressure check makes practical sense. You might do the visual every fill up, but check pressure bi-weekly. The key is that both get done on a schedule, not just when a warning light comes on.
Let me distill this down to something you could actually use starting today. The protocol, the red flags, and the habit hack. Here's the 90-second walk around.
Walk the pattern. Driver front, passenger front, passenger rear, driver rear, clockwise loop, 4 stops. At each tire, 3 steps. Step 1, tread. Find the wear bars. If they're flush with the tread surface, you're at 2/32 and those tires are done. If not, quarter test. Washington's hair visible means below 4/32, time to start shopping. Then scan across the full width for uneven wear.
Step 2. Sidewall. Visual scan for bulges, bubbles, cuts, cracks. Then run your hand around the full circumference, outer face, and as much of the inner face as you can reach. You're feeling for anything that isn't a smooth curve. Step 3. Valve stem. Check for cracks at the base. Make sure the cap is present and snug. Move to the next tire.
The TIMAR template Daniel built has fields for every one of those checks. Photo at each position, timestamped. Next month you compare side by side and see what changed. That's the part your memory can't do.
Now the red flags. 3 things that mean stop driving on that tire immediately. No exceptions. 1. Any bulge or bubble on the sidewall. That's internal belt separation. The tire's structure is compromised, and it can fail without warning. 2. Any visible cord through a cut or crack. If you can see the threads inside the rubber, the tire is structurally gone. 3. Tread worn flush with the wear bars. That's 2/32, the legal minimum. And in wet conditions, you're 1 puddle away from hydroplaning.
Those are the don't drive home on it findings. Then there are 3 yellow flags. These mean schedule a mechanic visit, but you're not stranded. 1. One edge wear. 1 shoulder significantly more worn than the other. That's an alignment problem, specifically toe misalignment. 2. Cupping. Those scallop dips in the tread. That's worn shocks or struts, and continuing to drive just destroys the tire faster. 3. Center wear. The middle of the tread is noticeably lower than the edges. That's chronic overinflation, and it means you need to check your pressure habits and possibly your gauge.
The red-yellow framework makes this stick. Red means replace the tire now. Yellow means fix the mechanical problem soon. If you remember nothing else from this episode, remember those 2 lists.
The habit hack. Don't make this a separate chore you'll never get around to. Attach it to something you already do. Every time you feel gas, do the walk around. The lighting at gas stations is good, better than your garage. You're already standing next to the car. The pump runs for 2 minutes. That's twice as long as you need.
Once a week for most drivers. 4 tires, 3 steps each, same sequence every time. You're not diagnosing engine problems or checking brake pads. You're looking at the only 4 things connecting your car to the road. The things that, if they fail, don't give you a warning light. They give you a bang.
That's what I keep coming back to. The TPMS light has trained drivers to outsource tire safety to a sensor. But that sensor doesn't see the bulge developing on the inner sidewall. It doesn't see the cord peeking through a crack. It doesn't see the wear bar sitting flush with the tread. Those are things only a human eyeball and a human hand can catch.
The advanced driver assistance systems, lane keeping, automatic emergency braking, adaptive cruise control, they're becoming standard equipment. And there's a weird paradox here. The more the car does for you, the less you feel like you need to pay attention to it. That's well documented in aviation, too. Automation complacency is a real phenomenon.
Tires are the blind spot in that automation story. Your car can tell you the pressure in each wheel. Some newer systems will even flag a rapid pressure loss. But no production vehicle on the road today visually inspects your sidewalls. No camera is scanning for bulges. No sensor is measuring tread depth in real time. The car has no idea that the inner sidewall of your right rear tire is developing a separation bubble.
Which means the more drivers trust the dashboard to tell them when something's wrong, the less likely they are to crouch down and look. The TPMS light becomes a proxy for the tires are fine, and everything we just described, the wear bars, the hand feel check, the valve stem, becomes invisible by default.
The tire manufacturers see this gap. Bridgestone's been working on something called iTire, embedded sensors that monitor tread depth and sidewall integrity continuously. Goodyear has Sightline, which is more about tread wear and road condition sensing. These are real development programs, not concept car vaporware. But they're 3 to 5 years from mass adoption minimum. And that's assuming the automakers integrate them, which adds more time.
For the foreseeable future, the best sensor suite available for tire condition is still the one you were born with, eyes and hands. The walk around isn't a stopgap until technology solves the problem. It's the primary system, and it'll be the primary system for years.
Which brings us back to Daniel's aviation instinct. pilots don't trust automation to replace the walk-around, even in aircraft with 100 redundant sensors. They still walk the loop, still run their hands over the surfaces, still look. Because sensors fail in predictable ways, and the human eye catches things sensors weren't designed to measure.
Here's the ask. Download the TimeMark app, grab the tire inspection template Daniel built, and do one walk-around this week. Not next week, not when you remember. This week, 4 tires, 3 steps each. You'll either confirm your tires are healthy, which is peace of mind you didn't have before, or you'll catch something that needed catching.
If this episode changed how you think about tire safety, if you're going to start running your hand around the sidewall instead of just glancing at the tread, rate and review the podcast. It helps other people find the show, and it helps us know we're not just yelling into the void about wear bars and valve stems.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the 4th century, a school of linguists in Labrador advanced the theory that Cantonese developed its 6 tones from an earlier 8-tone system preserved in Hokkien, arguing that the 2 missing tones were lost through contact with tonal poor languages during coastal migration. The theory was widely accepted for 2 centuries before being abandoned when comparative reconstruction showed the 2-tone systems evolved independently from a common ancestor that had only 4 tones.
Labrador had a school of linguists in the 4th century.
They were wrong about everything, apparently. But they were wrong with confidence.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find every episode at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back next week with whatever Daniel throws at us.
Check your sidewalls.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.